move to question time. Senator Birmingham.
Thank you, President. President, my question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. The latest national accounts from the Australian Bureau of Statistics show that real household disposable income suffered its largest ever annual decline last financial year, with Australian household incomes going backwards under Labor by 5.1%. According to the OECD, this was worse than any other developed economy, with mortgage repayments also at the highest on record and bracket creep further eroding household budgets. Can you guarantee that the third and final stage of the Coalition's legislated personal income tax cut plan to deliver a lower, simpler and fairer tax system for Australian families will be implemented in full and as already legislated, just as you committed to repeatedly in the lead-up to the last election?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, and I welcome the question from Senator Birmingham. And it is interesting how the opposition have a lot of questions for the Treasurer in this place but have none for him in the place that he actually sits. I think it's been some 3 months or more. I'm merely pointing out that the Treasurer never gets a question from the opposition, but I get quite a few to the Treasurer, which, you know, I mean, I would urge the Shadow Treasurer that maybe he could ask his counterpart a question. In relation to Stage 3, the Stage 3 tax cuts are legislated. The government's position hasn't changed on the Stage 3 tax cuts. And I would draw to people's attention the pleasing results on inflation that have been released today in the monthly CPI, which shows that inflation is moderating. And we know that inflation has been the defining challenge of the economy that has led to cost of living pressures across Australian households. It shows that inflation did peak in the December quarter and it is continuing to moderate, which is very good news, and I'm sure it's news that everyone in this chamber would agree is positive and is tracking along the way the Treasury forecasts and the RBA forecasts have been set out. So, we are pleased with those results. We're also pleased with the record low unemployment that's been able to be maintained, the 620,000 jobs that have been created under this government, the surplus, the fiscal discipline, the spending restraint that we have shown, which have all worked to make sure that the inflation challenge isn't made harder but is actually supported by decisions of this government.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Birmingham, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. First supplementary. The Labor member for Bennelong, Mr Laxalt, has called for Stage 3 tax cuts to be reversed, which would further increase taxes on Australian families and further erode household budgets. Rather than using a carefully scripted formula of words saying the Stage 3 tax cuts are legislated and the government's position hasn't changed, Minister, will you give a crystal clear commitment and say the Albanese government will deliver the legislated Stage 3 tax cuts?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Order. Thank you, Senator McKim.
I've already answered the question. You can't force me to speak in a way that you find acceptable. I have answered the question. Now, in relation to the preamble, the Treasurer and I are pleased on this side. We are pleased on this side to work with a very engaged caucus who represent their communities. Every single day, this government works as a team. We work as a team to make sure that we are dealing with cost of living pressures, as is our $23 billion cost of living package that is rolling out. And in the CPI figures, again, measures that you voted against and opposed and criticised show in the CPI figures today have actually worked to reduce inflation in the economy rather than increase it.
Senator Hume. Senator Birmingham, second supplementary.
Mr. President, well, in addition to tricky language on Stage 3 tax cuts, this week Labor ministers, as well as the Prime Minister, have refused to explicitly rule out changing the taxation treatment of the family home, despite the cost of housing also being at its absolute worst for Australians. Well, Senator Wong says, here we go. Minister, will you do what your colleagues have failed to do have failed to do and rule out any changes to the tax treatment of the family home?
I'm waiting for order, Minister Gallagher.
With that question completely, and I've read the transcripts and they have been explicit. There is no change to the tax treatment of the family home. People have made that commitment and have been clear. And I would again say that those opposite should think about the measures they voted against, like energy bill relief and others, that have worked to put downward pressure on inflation across the economy, the defining challenge that I hear a lot of criticism from those opposite, but when it actually comes to voting, to making a difference, to putting downward pressure on inflation, they go missing. Actually, that's right. It's worse than going missing. They actually say no. They say no to energy bill relief. They say no to our investments in housing. They say no to our energy policies. They say no to extra Commonwealth rent assistance for needy households. Cheaper medicine, 60-day dispensing, all of those areas where we're giving cost of living relief and they say no.
Order. I called the chamber to order three times. Senator Rustin, that does include you. Again, Senator Rustin. When I call the chamber to order, I expect the chamber to come to order, and the interjections across the chamber from both sides are incredibly disorderly. Senator Sheldon.
My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. Can the Minister outline how the Albanese government is focused on dealing with the immediate cost of living challenges Australians are facing, while at the same time building a stronger, more productive and more resilient budget and economy?
Thank you, Senator Sheldon. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Sheldon for his question. And it's an important question, and it's one that the Albanese government has been 100% focused on since coming to government. How to address cost of living pressures that are affecting Australians, but deal with the inflation challenge we inherited from those opposite, and again reminding those opposite that the largest quarter of CPI inflation was under your government. The March 22 quarter, which is when interest rates started being raised. We are rolling out tens of billions of dollars in cost of living relief, which has been carefully targeted to help people with cost of living pressures without adding to inflation. It's pleasing to see today that the ABS monthly CPI figures show that inflation is continuing to moderate, down from 5.6% to 4.9%. Our cost of living measures have been carefully designed to provide relief to households without adding to inflation. And if we look at some of the areas mentioned in the ABS release today, without the increase of Commonwealth rent assistance, rents would have been higher. Without our investments in our energy assistance package, a direct response to energy costs resulting from a decade of failed policy from those opposite, is also easing cost of living pressures, and it's clear from those that if it wasn't for this package of our energy bill relief, electricity prices would have risen higher than they would have otherwise over this period. The opposition have no credibility when it comes to economic or fiscal management. We know that the economy has got record low unemployment, our participation rates are at record high, the gender pay gap's at record low, women's participation record high, business investment up, industrial disputes down, 620,000 jobs created, two quarters of wage growth, a $78 billion deficit turned into a $22 billion surplus.
Has expired. Senator Sheldon, first supplementary.
Thank you for that very illuminating answer, Minister. Now, that's just some of the Albanese government's measures that are helping deliver cost of living relief for Australians. Can the Minister inform the Senate of any measures that are also helping improve the health and well-being of Australians?
Minister.
Thank you, President. And I acknowledge Senator Sheldon's advocacy in improving the health and well-being of Australians in a whole range of areas where he's focused his work, both before and after this, during his time in the Senate. If we look at the, remember that our issues with trying to lower the price of medicines, they have seen significant savings, over $200 million worth of savings to people in their own pocket, over 18 million scripts now that have been issued. We have $42.50 down to $30. What we've seen, and I know people will be interested in WA, we've seen 2.1 million cheaper scripts, $23 million. In Senator Sheldon's home state, 5.6 million cheaper scripts have been delivered in his hometown of New South Wales. In South Australia, Tasmania, the Northern Territory, in ACT, people saving money on their medicine scripts.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Sheldon, second supplementary.
Thank you, Minister. And 5.6 million scripts in New South Wales alone. Thank you, Minister. Can you elaborate on how the Albanese government's economic management extends beyond immediate relief measures like energy rebates and cheaper medicines to long-term benefits for Australian families, particularly in relationship to childcare? How is the government's approach to cheaper childcare contributing to easing the cost of living pressures for Australian families?
Thank you, Senator Sheldon. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Sheldon for the question, because we know on this side of the chamber, when it comes to childcare, it's one of those really big costs for household budgets, particularly when your children prior to school, like 0 to 5 age group. Apart from mortgage or rent, childcare is the biggest bill that many Australian families will have to pay. That's why we stepped up in the election campaign and wanted to talk about childcare when nobody else wanted to talk about childcare. And we put a substantial investment on the table to lower the price of childcare and give families that help they needed. For a family earning $120,000 with one child in care, their childcare costs would be about $1,700 a year less than they otherwise would be. Our cheaper childcare is more than just good cost of living relief. It's good social policy. It's about giving parents choice, particularly women, to work more hours if they want.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Patterson.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Minister, I refer to the individual released from immigration detention following the High Court ruling and whose location is now apparently still unknown to authorities. Can you confirm the Australian Border Force Commissioner's assertion that this individual failed to comply with the requirement to wear an ankle bracelet?
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, thank you to the Senator for the question. As you know, the government has been dealing with a High Court decision which required the release of a number of persons in detention, overturning a 20-year precedent. The Senator would also know that the government was preparing for this possibility for some time, including engaging with the ensuring that State and Territory Police, the ABF and the AFP were engaged. The government has also responded quickly to pass tough new laws prior to the court handing down its reasons, which included visa conditions, and I note the opposition was prepared to work constructively with us on this. I note also that a High Court has handed down its reasons, which enable further consideration of what more can be done in relation to this cohort to ensure and assure community safety. Whilst we don't comment on individual matters, I understand that advice has been provided by the ABF. I don't have the precise terms in the terms that you quoted in front of me, but Senator Patterson, I'll take it as read that that is the case, and I'd refer you to the answer of the ABF Commissioner.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Patterson, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. The Guardian has reported this morning that, quote, Claire O'Neill has refused to rule out that a man was able to leave immigration detention without electronic monitoring because Australian Border Force failed to read out visa conditions to him. Minister, does this mean that previous statements by the government were in fact wrong, and the government cannot guarantee to the Senate that the release of all these individuals from detention followed the correct process?
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Wong.
Why I am somewhat bemused that the opposition is attacking Border Force and criticising Border Force. Well, I may have misunderstood the question, Senator Patterson, but it sounded to me like the opposition was being critical of the ABF and the AFP. We do back our agencies. They are working very hard, as opposed to keep Australians safe. They are working very hard to keep Australians safe, and we understand that they ought to be supported in that. We also understand that it's important that the legislative framework is as robust as possible in circumstances where the High Court has changed, I think, some 20 years of precedent on this issue. We know that those opposite are very happy to shout about national security. They're also very happy to keep passing laws when they're in government that kept getting in trouble with the High Court and not being effective. You don't keep people
Minister,
safe.
Please resume your seats. Thank you. Senator Patterson, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Can the Minister update the Senate on the status of the three other detainees who have been referred to the AFP for refusing to wear ankle bracelets? Have any of them been charged with any offence, or have they now been fitted with ankle bracelets?
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Wong.
Well, I'm not going to engage in discussion in this chamber about operational matters other than to say we support the ABF and AFP in their work to ensure assure Australians are safe. We will continue to do that. And I would make this point. Those opposite are led by a man who seemed to believe you make people safe by yelling. By yelling a lot. I'm unsurprised.
Minister
and by
Wong,
continuing to
Minister
pass
Wong,
laws that were
Minister Wong,
down.
Please resume your seat. Order. Order on my left. Order. Senator Patterson.
On direct relevance, Madam President, I asked about three detainees released into the community and whether the AFP has charged them, not the Leader of the Opposition.
The Minister is being relevant. She has answered the first part of your question, Minister Wong.
Thank you. I think asking directly whether the AFP have charged someone is by definition not an operational matter. So I like other ministers in such situations, will not be engaging in that discussion. What I would say is this. We have seen laws passed with great fanfare by those opposite when in government, led and championed most loudly by Mr Dutton, which have not kept Australians safe because they have been struck down. It did. I'll take that introduction.
Thank you,
this didn't
Minister
happen
Wong.
Your laws were struck down. That doesn't
expired.
Make...
Thank you, Minister Wong. Senator McKim.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Immigration, Senator Watt. Minister, I note your government's complete acquiescence to opposition leader Peter Dutton's every unreasonable demand on immigration policy. You abjectly accepted his amendments to your legislation last week. You even said thank you to him. You've let him scare you into contradicting your own party's policy with mandatory detention. And yesterday, you allowed him to yet again dictate your government's immigration policy by announcing a new preventative detention regime, exactly as he has been demanding. Minister, is Labor so focused on bending over backwards to accommodate Mr Dutton on migration policy that you are completely incapable of taking the action necessary to meet the real challenges of our times, like reining in the rampant profiteering and price gouging by the big corporations that is smashing household budgets, like overriding...
Thank you, Senator McKim. The time
for asking just got started,
has expired.
President.
Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator McKim, for that jumble of a question. It started out with a bit of Home Affairs, throws in a bit of Treasury, bit of finance along the way. But what we do know is that there's always Greens Party rhetoric. That is the consistent thing that we'll always get through a question from Senator McKim and any of his colleagues. Now, Senator McKim, I think, unfortunately for you, what the record would show is that the party who has been going along with Mr Dutton in the last few days on these matters is none other than the Greens Party, because there was legislation that we attempted to pass through the House of Representatives on these issues this week to make our strong laws even stronger. And my recollection of what the Hansard had to say was that one party voted for those laws. That was called the Australian Labor Party. And the two party, or the three parties, in fact, that voted against it were the Greens Party, the Liberal Party and the National Party. So if you want to talk about who's bending over backwards to accommodate Mr Dutton, maybe you need to have a look in the mirror, because the Greens voted with the Liberal Party and the National Party on immigration matters
Senator
in the
McKim.
House of Representatives only this week. We don't even need to go back to the past sitting weeks. Let's look at what happened just this week in Parliament. About 50 metres over that way down there, it was the Greens Party voting with Peter Dutton, Mr Dutton, and the Liberal Party and the National Party to stop us from making tough laws even tougher. So I don't know. You know, maybe you don't talk to Mr. Bant. I know there's all sorts of weird trot factions, Di Natale factions, Skivvy factions in the Greens Party. I know you don't all talk to each other, but if you actually had a look at what happened this week, it was the Greens voting with the Liberal and the National Party. So you better get your facts straight before you walk in here and start asking questions of the Labor Party. We know where we stand on this issue. It's about keeping the Australian community safe. We make no apologies for passing legislation and trying to strengthen them, and it's about time the other parties in here
back
us.
Thank you, Minister. What, Senator McKim, first supplementary?
Are you okay, Murray?
Thank you. Resume your seat, Senator Watt.
Very good. Very good. Sorry, President, do I have the call?
I've already called you, Senator McKim, and you've been wasting your own time.
All right, thank you, Minister. Minister, I spoke about the big challenges facing Australians. Rents are now rising at the fastest rate since 2009. Are you going to actually do something to make unlimited rent rises illegal and unlawful, or are you just going to wait for Mr Dutton to tell you how
to
respond?
Thank you, Senator McKim. The time has expired. Minister Watt.
Well, thank you, President, and thank you, Senator McKim. We're obviously now straying well beyond Home Affairs matters, but I'm very happy to take any question about any portfolio that the Albanese government is dealing with. Now, you talk about housing. I almost had a chance to do a whole week of it a couple of weeks ago, but you didn't give me the chance.
Order.
I'm very happy to talk about what the Labor Party is doing about housing and why we're moving on this, because I seem to remember that it was only about 3 months ago that we had a certain party in here who refused to back the Labor Party on our Housing Australia Future Fund for a number of months. Now, what colour? What it was something to do with the colour was that party. Oh, it was the Greens Party who didn't want to back Labor to deliver more social housing in Australia. You finally caved in because we out-memed you for a change and showed that you were in dialogue and in lockstep with the Liberal Party and Mr Dutton. And you finally caved in. If you want to do something about housing, maybe you listen to us a bit more.
Thank you, Senator Watt. Senator McKim. Second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, Coles and Woolworths posted a combined $2.7 billion in profit this year off the back of higher price margins. In other words, off the back of price gouging and profiteering while millions of Australians are being smashed by increasing food prices. What are you going to do to bring the supermarket duopoly to heel, or are you just going to wait to see what Mr Dutton tells you to do?
Senator McKim, I'm sure, because you've been a senator for a while, you know you are a long way from relevance. Senator Wong? Senator Wong, are you on a point of order? No. Senator Wong? I will rule it out of order, but I'll also give Minister Watt the opportunity to respond. Yes, certainly, Senator McKim.
Just in relation to your ruling, President, just to remind you, in my primary question, I did talk about profiteering and price gouging by big corporations.
Senator McKim,
I do submit the questions in order.
It's not in order, Senator McKim. Senator Wong?
The question time should relate to ministers' portfolios.
Thank you. I have ruled the question out of order. I am going to invite Senator Watt to make a contribution if he wishes to. Senator Watt.
I'm very happy to answer that question, but I might do it in my capacity as Agriculture Minister, because I've actually been for some months now calling on the supermarket duopoly to cut their prices for food, and in particular meat supplies, and you know what? They've started to do it. And I'm very pleased to see that Woolworths, after my calls and many other members of the community for them to drop the prices that they were charging consumers for meat have started to do so, and it's about time the other retailers did so as well. I make no apologies again for calling on the supermarkets to make sure that they are responding to the cost of living pressures that Australians are dealing with. They shouldn't be charging as much as they are for food prices, especially at a time when farmers are getting low prices for things like sheep, for things like cattle, and in many cases for horticulture as well. So we will keep up the pressure on the supermarkets. I haven't seen a single Greens MP do anything about these issues, but we know that all you actually do is come in here and ask questions so you can put them up on social media.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Grogan.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Home Affairs Minister, Senator Watt. On the 8th of November, the High Court handed down its decision, a decision that required the government to release a number of people from immigration detention. So we know that the government is strongly opposed to this case and has taken action since then to keep the Australian community safe. Can the Minister outline how the Australian government has responded to this High Court decision?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Grogan. Well, as has been well documented, since the decision of the High Court on the 8th of November, the Albanese government has worked around the clock to stand up a joint AFP and ABF operation to impose strict conditions on those released from detention. The government also this week announced a $255 million boost to give our agencies and law enforcement the tools they need to keep Australians safe. We've introduced strict laws and strict conditions, like ankle bracelets, increased monitoring and strict curfews. We're doing all we can to ensure these strict laws are enduring and will withstand legal challenges to maintain community safety. I'd remind the Senate that the laws the High Court struck down were laws presided over by none other than the Leader of the Opposition when he was Minister for Home Affairs. Because we all know that Mr Dutton has spent years telling us he'd closed the back door to Australia, but as I said yesterday, now we find out that he left the front gate open, swinging in the breeze. Let's remember when Mr Dutton was the Home Affairs Minister in 2018. A boat ran aground in far north Queensland carrying 15 asylum seekers.
Minister Watt.
We don't think about that, do we?
Resume your seat. Order on my left. Order. Senator Cash, it applies to you. Senator Patterson. Please continue.
Thank you, President. They don't want to hear about Mr Dutton's failures in the Home Affairs portfolio. As I say, in 2018, a boat ran aground in far north Queensland carrying 15 asylum seekers. Who was the Home Affairs Minister? Mr Dutton. Report after report found gaping holes in Mr Dutton's rorted visa system, which was letting criminals into the country. A visa system that allowed foreign organised crime syndicates into the country.
Order.
These included the Albanian mafia, who engaged in drug trafficking, money laundering, slavery and sexual exploitation. Oh, wasn't Mr Dutton such a tough Home Affairs Minister? He was so tough he let the Albanian mafia into the country. How very tough of him. And this is the difference between our government and the opposition. We don't talk tough, we act tough.
Order. Order across the chamber. Order. Senator Hume, I have just called order and you continue to interject rudely across the chamber. Senator Grogan, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. As the Minister has referenced previously, on Monday in the House we witnessed the remarkable event of the Coalition voting with the Greens against making tough laws even tougher. So, when the government is trying to protect the Australian community, all we see opposite trying to play politics.
Senator Grogan, resume your seat. Order. Senator Grogan, please continue your question. Senator Grogan, please sit down. Resume your seat. Senator McKenzie, I have just called the chamber to order about three times, and the minute Senator Grogan got back on her feet, you interjected again. You are disorderly. Senator Grogan, please continue.
So I would like to thank the Minister for his previous answer, which showed us some clarity about what's happened in the past. Can you please tell us how the Albanese Labor government is working in the parliament to make our strong laws even stronger?
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. And Senator Grogan, they are very touchy about this, aren't they? They're very touchy when the facts are pointed out to them. Because this week the government brought amendments into this parliament to make our tough laws even tougher, to make sure that individuals like the one that Senator Dean Smith was so keen to get out of detention that we talked about yesterday are kept away from schools and childcare centres. I would love to be able to report today that those protections were supported by the opposition. But Mr Dutton and the Liberals did what they always do. They said no. Just like they said no to energy price relief, just said they said no to cheaper medicines, this week they said no to keeping the Australian community safe. And even more surprisingly, the opposition joined forces with the Greens to try to block those changes. The Greens, who call the government xenophobic and anti-refugee for keeping the Australian community safe, they are the new partners of the Liberal Party, it would seem. I can't wait for the press conference with Senator McKim and Senator Cash standing by, side by side, calling on the government
Thank
to go
you,
softer
Minister,
on the people who are at risk of the Australian
community. I'm just waiting for order, Senator Grogan. Senator Grogan, second supplementary.
Thank you. When in government, the now Leader of the Opposition had two failed attempts at making a constitutionally sound citizenship loss regime, I believe is what you advised us, Minister. The High Court determined that these were an unconstitutional failure. Can the Minister now outline for this chamber how laws are supposed to work to keep Australians safe? You might want to listen.
Thank you, Senator Grogan. Minister Watt.
Well, it might be a novel concept for those sitting opposite, but the way laws are supposed to work is that they stand up in court. And we know Senator Cash has never had a history of wanting to cooperate with the law. We know Senator Cash, as the Attorney General, never wanted to cooperate with the law. And it seems that was their policy when it came to immigration laws as well. We came to government facing a huge range of issues in the national security space, left to us by the Leader of the Opposition. Now, let's be clear about Mr Dutton's legacy as Home Affairs Minister. He talks tough on crime, but under his watch, the sexual exploitation of migrants, organised crime and people trafficking skyrocketed. He left our borders open. He let the Albanian mafia take hold in our country. He made our communities less safe. He presided over a broken migration program. And at the same time, while he was talking tough on borders, he cut compliance officers by 50%. And when
Senator
he got around
McGrath.
To finally legislating his laws, they got struck down. It wasn't just robo-debt that we saw the coalition operating outside
Thank
the bounds
you,
of the
Minister.
Law. It
the
was immigration
time has
as well.
Expired. Order. Senator Hanson. I'm sorry, Senator Hanson. Please resume your seat. Order on my left. Order. I had called Senator Hanson and the disorder on the left side of the chamber continued. You are being disrespectful to a senator who has the right to put her question in silence. Senator Hanson, please continue.
Thank you. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Education, Senator Watt. This year's NAPLAN results show more than 16% of Year 3 students and more than 20% of Year 9 students are at or below the minimum standards in numeracy. Will the Minister please explain why the Albanese Labor government has failed hundreds of thousands of young Australians in need of a decent education?
Thank you, Senator Hanson. Minister Watt.
Thank you for the question, Senator Hanson. I think all Australians were concerned to see that the NAPLAN results that were tabled this year were lower than they have been, not in every single segment of the student population, but certainly in enough to be concerned about. And that continues, unfortunately, a downward trend we have seen in those results over a number of years now. Now, I can't remember, Senator Hanson, whether the results which were published this year were in relation to tests that occurred this year, or sometimes it's about tests that have occurred in previous years. But there's no doubt that the NAPLAN results of Australian children have been trending downwards for some time now. And that is exactly why, as I said in answer to a question from Senator Ormond Payne yesterday, the Albanese government is absolutely committed to make sure that every Australian school receives fair funding. And what we do find with those NAPLAN results is it's particularly students from disadvantaged backgrounds, whether it be they're from poor families, from First Nations families, from rural and remote families. It tends to be students from disadvantaged backgrounds that are particularly struggling with literacy and numeracy. And that is exactly why, as I say, we are in the process of delivering more funding for schools and also making sure that those schools that particularly need assistance get more, because it is those schools that particularly cater to disadvantaged populations that do need more support. That is a fundamentally different approach to what we saw under 10 years of coalition government, where poorer schools, poorer students, whether they be state or non-state schools, were starved with the resources that they need.
So, again,
Senator Hanson doesn't like it when these facts are pointed out. Senator Henderson doesn't like it when these facts are pointed out. But the truth is that schools with more disadvantaged communities do need more resources.
Senator
Henderson still doesn't seem to accept that. So the
Coalition Minister,
still doesn't think that's the case.
Senator Wong?
Senator Henderson has been called twice and has not respected the President's call.
I was about to call Senator Henderson a third time, which is why I set the Minister down. Senator Henderson, you are out of order. If you want to make a contribution, it's not at question time. It is some other time during the sitting of the Senate, and I ask you to remain silent. Senator Hanson, first supplementary.
Thank you. According to the Black Dog Institute, almost 47% of Australian teachers are considering leaving the profession in the next 12 months, and more than 75% of teachers report burnout often or all the time. Even the Queensland Palaszczuk Labor government solution is to reduce school to 4 days a week. Will the Minister please explain why the Albanese Labor government is failing to support teachers at the risk of gutting Australian schools and accelerating the decline in education outcomes?
Thank you, Senator Hanson. The time has expired for answering. Senator Watt.
Thank you, Senator Hanson. And can I begin by commending the work of the Black Dog Institute? I actually met with them myself this morning, but more in relation to the support that they're providing by way of mental health for first responders. So they do a fantastic job, whether it be in that space or teachers as well. There is undoubtedly in our country a teacher shortage. Too few people are becoming teachers and too many are leaving. In December last year, federal, state and territory education ministers agreed to the National Teacher Workforce Action Plan, which sets out a clear pathway to addressing teacher workforce shortages and providing teachers with more support of the kind that you're talking about. That action plan sets out 27 actions that the Commonwealth, state and territory governments will take to turn around this serious issue. And some of the priority areas for that action plan include improving teacher supply, strengthening initial teacher education, keeping the teachers that we have, elevating the profession, and better understanding future teacher workforce needs.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Hanson, second supplementary.
Thank you. According to a benchmark science curriculum analysis released this week by the Learning First, the Australian science curriculum provides students with less than half the content of comparable jurisdictions overseas, including Singapore, England, the United States and Canada. Australian education is also 2 years behind in basic literacy and numeracy skills. Will the Minister please explain why the Albanese Labor government is failing to keep pace with education standards overseas at great risk to Australian economic outcomes
and
the nation's international competitiveness?
The question has expired. Minister Watt.
Thank you again, Senator Hanson, and I welcome your interest in the educational standards of Australian students. It's something that literally our future will rely upon. And again, I'm not going to dispute the fact that we do have some catching up to do with a range of other countries overseas, particularly in STEM areas that you're talking about, but even some of the literacy and numeracy areas that we were talking about in your first question. There's another form of testing, which I think is still undertaken, called PISA. PISA. It's a form of testing in education that compares Australia to other countries. And again, we have been lagging other countries for some time, and that gap is getting wider, not smaller. So these are, again, the reasons that the Albanese government is investing more in education, but also targeting that investment, particularly towards the teachers that need support, to disadvantaged communities that need support, while at the same time overhauling the Australian curriculum to make sure that we are keeping pace with other countries as well.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Cash.
Thank you. And my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Yesterday, the High Court published its reasons for its 8th of November decision regarding the NZYQ case. The case before the High Court, the orders made on the 8th of November and the reasons for the decision published yesterday all relate to a single detainee, NZYQ. On what grounds did the government release at least 140 detainees in addition to NZYQ? And is it the government's position that every single one of the individuals released could not have legally remained in immigration detention?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Wong.
Thank you. The advice I have is very clear, and that is that the High Court decision required the release of individuals with similar circumstances to NZYQ. That was the advice the government was given, and that was the advice that the government has acted upon. As I've said here in this chamber, on a number of occasions, governments should comply with the law. All governments should comply with the law. The proposition that the Shadow Attorney General is seriously putting forward in this chamber is that a government should act in a manner contrary to the law. I am surprised that somebody who holds such a senior position would advance something not just so irresponsible, but so contrary to our system of democracy.
That we know those opposites
in robo-debt. We know on robo-debt that is precisely what they did. And we saw what happened with the dreadful outcomes that we saw, including the distress and loss of life for some Australians. We saw what happened, and I invite the Shadow Attorney General to read the report into robo-debt. Perhaps she could get some instruction about compliance with the law by governments.
Senator Cash, first supplementary.
Thank you. On the 30th of May 2023, the government told the High Court it was an agreed fact that there was, and I quote, no real prospect of NZYQ being removed from Australia in the reasonably foreseeable future. Yet reports in The Guardian show that just a week later, the Minister for Home Affairs says she had operational advice about the case and it was likely the government would, quote, avoid it by deporting him. Did the minister sign off on the facts that the government put before the High Court?
Minister Wong.
Whatever is put before the High Court is the position of the government. In relation to resettlement, I would point out that many of the people who have been subject to this decision were people who were detained not by this government but by previous governments, and that opportunities for resettlement were obviously not carried through to fruition by previous governments.
That's right.
That is a self-evident fact. But I again make the point, as I did yesterday, you know, we may not. Obviously, the government's position was advocated before the High Court. We argued for the constitutional basis which had been in place for some 20 years, President. That was not accepted by the court. Obviously, governments have to deal with it. The response of government, a mature government, is to look to assuring community safety in a manner that is consistent with the law. It is not advocating.
Thank you, Minister.
For not
the time for answering has expired. Senator Cash, second supplementary.
Thank you. And what is the delay in the Albanese Labor government introducing preventative detention as green-lighted by the High Court of Australia yesterday? Why is it that the Albanese Labor government is always on the back foot when it comes to protecting the Australian community?
Order. 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 Order across the, Senator Wong. Senator Wong, I haven't called you yet. I'm waiting for order. Senator Wong.
I mean, the reflex to play politics and division is extraordinary. 24 hours later, the Shadow Attorney General is saying, where's the bill? 24 hours later, but even worse, how many hours after her party voted with the Greens against toughening up this legislation? You voted with the Greens. So you explain to us
your position? Is it that you want, you don't want a delay?
Senator McGrath.
Or is it that you team up with the Greens in the other place because you want more time? Wasn't that what they said? Was it their decision to vote with the Greens against tougher laws?
Senator McGrath.
We want more time. Well, you can make up your mind. The Australian people know what you are. You have no plan. All you are about is division. That is all you are about.
Senator Thorpe.
Thank you, President. While she's on a roll, my question is for the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Minister Wong. Reports now suggest that 20,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed and 8,000 of them are children. When do you think is the right time to call for a permanent ceasefire, Minister?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister Wong.
Senator Thorpe, I want to start by saying we mourn every life. And
Senator Thorpe, you've asked your question.
We have consistently called for the release of hostages. We have consistently, in affirming Israel's right to defend itself, made clear that our view is Israel should comply with international law and work to protect civilians. And we have said that consistently. We have welcomed the two-day extension to the pause in hostilities in Gaza, and we support the efforts of those—
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Thorpe.
Point of order on relevance. I ask simply, when do you think is the right time to call for a permanent ceasefire?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. The minister is being relevant to your question. Minister Wong.
I again go back to what I was saying, which is we welcome the two-day—
Senator Thorpe, you've asked your question. I'm asking you to now listen to the answer. Thank you. Minister Wong.
Thank you. We continue to call. We welcome the two-day extension to the pause in hostilities, and we support efforts to continue extending the pause. I think we would all want to see not only the pause extended, but also the hostages being released, as some have been. What I would say to you, Senator Thorpe, is that we all understand the extent to which this is a distressing and painful conflict for so many Australians. It's distressing and painful for members of the Jewish community. It's distressing and painful for members of the Palestinian community. It's distressing and painful for many Australians, and it is very important, if I may say, that we try and deal with the very strong emotions.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Thorpe.
What actions are you taking?
Senator Thorpe, please wait for me to call you. First supplementary.
What actions are you taking to uphold international humanitarian law and prevent further attacks on innocent civilians?
Minister.
We raise our voice, and our voice has been very clear. We have called for the release of hostages. We have called for humanitarian access. We've called for the protection of civilian life. I've also said, and I was criticised by some, that at the self-evident point that I would have thought all of us would want to see the next steps towards a sustainable ceasefire, but it can't be one-sided. And what we see is progress on each of the calls we have made, the release of hostages, humanitarian access, protection of human life, civilian life, and steps towards a sustainable ceasefire. And we've seen some progress with the arrangements which have been brokered. But ultimately, what we want to do is to work for a long-term, enduring peace, which ultimately does require a two-state solution with Israelis and Palestinians living securely and prosperously within internationally recognised borders.
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Second supplementary.
Traditional aid funding will you supply, seeing the Labor government has only provided $25 million when an estimated $1.2 billion is needed?
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. Minister.
Thank you, Senator Thorpe. And the Senator is right, a lot more will be required. And when we made our initial humanitarian assistance very early on in the conflict, I made clear at the time that Australia stood ready to work with others and to make a further contribution to international efforts to enable the rebuilding of communities, of infrastructure, but most importantly, a peaceful resolution to the dreadful conflict we are seeing.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Marielle Smith.
Thanks, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Social Services, Senator Farrell. Many households are feeling the pinch of cost of living pressures. Can the Minister outline to the Senate what action the Albanese Labor government is taking to make things easier for families who are experiencing cost of living pressures, including through the social services portfolio?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and can I thank Senator Smith for her question, because I know she understands the many pressures that ordinary Australians are under at the moment, and we know that many Australians, including recipients of government payments, are struggling in the face of cost of living pressures. That's why the Albanese Labor government is working every day, every single day, to deliver $23 billion worth of targeted and meaningful support. We've strengthened the safety net for all Australians when they need it. We have lifted the base rate of working age and student payments to provide extra support to those doing it tough. We're providing direct support to hundreds of thousands of families in different settings and circumstances. This support is flowing into family budgets right now. For single parents who face the difficult challenge of balancing work and care on their own, we have expanded eligibility for the single parent payments until their youngest child turns 14, up from 8. As a result, over 65,000 single parents are receiving nearly $200 a week extra per fortnight. For parents of newborns, the government is delivering the biggest investment in paid parental leave since it was introduced. We have expanded access to more families, including by introducing a $350,000 family income limit, and made it much easier for both parents to share the care. Then, from 2024, we expand the scheme by an extra 6 weeks, reaching 6 months in 2026. That's over $5,000 extra to help cover time off around the birth of the baby and help juggle care and work.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Marielle Smith, first supplementary.
Minister, after a decade of inaction by the former Liberal National Government to address housing and rental affordability, many families are struggling with the cost of housing. Can the Minister outline how the Albanese Labor Government has sought to address a decade of inadequacy in housing policy and is helping families with rising rents?
Thank you, Senator Smith. Senator Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Smith for her first supplementary question. And yes, I can answer that question. Senator Smith, we know Australians have been struggling to meet the rising cost of rents, which is why we've increased the maximum rates of Commonwealth rent assistance to 1.1 million households by 15%, the largest increase of the payments in over 30 years. For many families, more rent assistance works alongside the extra support that we are delivering through electricity bill relief, cheaper childcare, cheaper medicines, and investment in bulk billing. It's also important to remember that rent assistance is just one piece of the puzzle when it comes to improving rental and housing affordability. The best solution over the longer term is to increase housing supply, and that has been a key focus for our government.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Marielle Smith, second supplementary.
Minister, many Australians not currently in the workforce want to work, and it's critical that they have the necessary supports to re-enter the workforce. Can the Minister outline what the Albanese Labor government is taking to support those Australians to find well-paid jobs, helping put more money into the pockets of families and workers?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Smith for her second supplementary question. The Albanese Labor government has overseen record job creation, and our employment white paper sets out a plan to help more Australians take up these opportunities. We're delivering on our commitment to get wages moving with annualised average wage growth of 4%, almost double the average under our predecessors. We've permanently enhanced the pension work bonus and doubled the employment income nil rate period, helping more people on working age payments and pensions to take up job opportunities. Our government has a comprehensive and positive plan to deliver cost of living relief to millions of Australians. We're working hard to deliver measures that will make a real difference now and into the future.
Senator McGrath.
President, my question is to the Special Minister of State, Senator Farrell.
He's very special.
With Australians in the grip of a cost of living crisis, will the Albanese government rule out creating any more politicians in this term of parliament? If Labor wants to create more politicians, will you first take your proposals for more politicians to an election and see what the Australian people think of your priorities?
Yeah. Thank you, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator McGrath for his question. And as he would well know, this issue of parliamentary representation has been the subject of discussion and report by the recent JSCAM inquiry. And the inquiry, of course, this week handed down its final report on the last election. One of the issues, of course, which it asks the government to consider is representation of particularly the territories in this place. I think it also raises the issue more generally of representation in the parliament. As an initial comment, I would.
Senator McGrath.
Point of order on relevance, President. The question was quite specific about will the Albanese government rule out creating any more politicians? So I'd ask that you direct the minister to the question, please.
The minister is being relevant to the question, Senator McGrath. Minister Farrell, please continue.
Thank you.
Order.
Well, I can tell you this, Senator McGrath, we don't want any more coalition MPs in this place. We don't want any more. We've had enough. We've got enough of you already. We don't want any more of you doing the sort of damage that you did.
Minister Farrell. Order. Senator Cash. Senator McGrath. Order. Minister, please continue. Please resume your seat. Senator Cash, I've spent quite a few seconds calling this place to order, and the minute the minister got to his feet, you began to be disorderly again. That is disrespectful. I'm asking for silence. Minister. Senator Ayres. Order across the chamber, Minister.
Thank you, President. We've received the report of the JSCIM committee. You're on that committee, Senator McGrath. The government has got a range of recommendations, which include a whole lot of aspects of.
Thank you, Senator McGrath. Senator Farrell, Senator McGrath, first supplementary.
How much will these extra politicians cost the Australian taxpayers who are dealing with a cost of living crisis?
Very good question. Minister Farrell. Sorry, Senator Wong.
Well, there are point of order. The question is intrinsically a hypothetical. It's about an, it's about something which...
Order! Order! Senator Cash!
I appreciate that. But it goes to a hypothetical outcome, not to government policy.
Senator Birmingham?
President, on the point of order, the minister in his answer directly referenced the J-Scheme report with its recommendations for additional senators and additional members of the House of Representatives. It is clearly a supplementary question in order, then, for Senator McGrath to ask what that would cost.
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. I'm going to rule it in order. It is part of the J-Scheme report, and I'll call the minister to answer the question.
And thank you, Senator McGrath, for his first supplementary question. Well, what we do know, what we do know about politicians in this place is if they are supported by Mr. Dutton, they don't get the support of the coalition. And of course, we've just seen Senator.
Thank you. Order. I'm waiting. Order. Senator McGrath.
President, point of order on relevance. The question was quite specific in terms of the cost of extra politicians. Peter Dutton does not support extra politicians. He wants better politicians and more
Senator
common
McGrath,
sense.
Senator McGrath, thank you. Thank you. Order. Order. Senator Cash. Order. Seriously, you've had so much to say. I invite you at some other point to make your contribution. Minister, please continue.
Thank you, President. Well, just responding to that point of order, if Mr. Farrell,
please resume your seat. Disorder across the chamber. Minister Farrell, please continue.
Dutton wants better politicians. Why isn't Senator Rennick been re-endorsed? Because I understand he was one of the...
Senator Farrell, I'm going to ask you to withdraw that.
I withdraw.
Thank you. Did you have a... Thank you. I'll bring you back to the question, Senator Farrell.
Dutton to endorse Alex.
Just a moment, Senator Farrell. Please, Minister Watt, you are not being helpful. And nor are the interjections back. Minister Farrell, please continue.
Thank you, President. Look, the simple proposition here is that the issue has been raised by the J-Scheme Committee. You're on the committee, as I've repeatedly said, Senator McGrath.
Order! I invite all of those senators who have been constantly interjecting to make your comment at some other point. Senator McGrath, second supplementary.
Thank you. The Albanese Labor government wasted $450 million on the failed referendum. You are now proposing at least an additional 50 MPs and 32 senators. Isn't this another example of you having the wrong priorities in a cost of living crisis?
Thank you, Senator McGrath. I'm waiting. Senator Cash again. Senator O'Sullivan again. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator McGrath for his second supplementary question. We're doing nothing of the sort.
Senator Wong.
I ask that further questions be placed on notice.
Thank you.